The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Kisove. In the Parsha, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Devarim Chof Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayitzav Moshe Sa'on Bayomahu Lemor. And Moshe commanded the nation on that day, saying, Heilu Yamdu Levorich Sa'on Al HaGrizim, the Ovrechem Es HaYadein, that when you cross the Yadein, this is at the end of the 40 years, and Klal Yisrael was getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. When you cross the Yadein, the Jordan River, so Shimon Velevi Yudav Yisoch V'Yosef V'Binyamin, these six tribes shall stand on HaGrizim. And this will be to be Mevorech HaSa'am. Give brochas to the nation. Ve'ele Yamdu Al HaKlol Bahar Evel. And these will stand on the other mountain, Har Evel, Al HaKlol for the curses. Ruven God, Osher, Zvulun, Don, V'Naftoli. And then the Torah tells us that six tribes were on one side, and six on the other, and the Levim in the center. And then they set over a number of brachas and curses, which the Torah lists. For example, cursed is the man who makes an idol, or cursed is the man who disgraces his father and mother. Cursed is the man who moves the borders between his field and his fellow man's field, and so forth. Now, what was the significance of this? So this is explained later in Parshas Nitzovim. There, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chof Ches in Nitzovim, Hanistoris Lashem Elokeinu, Vahaniglais Lonu Ulevaneinu Ad Eilom Lasis is called Divrei HaTorah. What is hidden from man, that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is revealed to us, that belongs to us and our children forever. Rashi explains there that when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they went up on the mountains of Har Grizim and Har Evel, there they accepted responsibility for the whole nation and everything that was written in the Torah, one for the other. She called Yisrael Arevim Zelazer, because one is responsible for the other. Therefore, if someone commits an Aveira, it's the responsibility of the rest of Yisrael, because they are supposed to guarantee that all of Israel keeps the Torah. Called Yisrael Arevim Zelazer, everyone stands as a guarantor for his fellow man in Israel. Except, this is on the Niglais, on those mitzvahs and averes which are apparent. What about the mitzvahs and averes which are concealed? How can we stop other people from doing averes if we don't know what they're doing? So on that, these were excluded from the shvua, from the oath. These were excluded. And that's why in our parsha, it lists a number of klolas, I believe there are 12 curses and brochas for those who fulfill this. And these are the nistoris, the hidden averus. Because on these, the rest of Klal Yisrael cannot assume responsibility one for the other. Therefore, a specific brocha and curse were given for the nistoris. And that's what is meant on nistoris l'Hashem Elokeinu, that what is hidden, that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the glows, lono levaneinu ad elom. But what is revealed, what is apparent, is belongs to us and our children forever. Lasis is called divrei HaTorah, in order to see that this Torah is fulfilled. Now this principle of kol Yisrael arevim zelezer, where one assumes responsibility for the other, this is a very important principle and something very unique to Klal Yisrael. But not a person must realize that he is not an individual who is detached from everyone else. And he walks his own way and he takes care of him. He takes care of his own self, physically and spiritually, and he says, "Shalom alai nafshi." Everything is good for me. What other people do is not my business. I will fulfill the Torah. I will study Torah. I will do mitzvahs. I will educate my family. But I withdraw from the rest of the community. I build a wall around myself. I create a ghetto between myself and other Jews. And it's not my responsibility. They don't want to keep mitzvahs. That's their business. They don't want to follow the ways of the Torah. That's their problem. This attitude is not the Torah attitude. Because the Torah here tells us that it won't help. To withdraw from the rest of the community and build a wall around yourself won't help. Because you will be held responsible not only for your Avedas, but for the Avedas of the other parts of Klal Yisrael also. Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, each one is a guarantor for another Jew. And this took place when they went through, crossed the Yarden, and they stood at Har Ebal and Har Grizim. Now this principle was what was unique in Avraham Avinu, in Abraham. The Chazal tell us what was the difference between Avraham and between Noach. Why was Avraham such a great righteous person? And why was he chosen, and from him should come the seed of Israel, the chosen seed? There was Noach also. Noach was Ish Sadikoya v'deiresov. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that he's a very righteous person. He was almost the most righteous person of his generation. And he and his family were saved from the flood, and through him the world continued. All of the people became known as the Bnei Noach, the children of Noach. So why wasn't his seed chosen to become the nation of Hashem and to receive the Torah? Why Abraham? Because there was a difference. Noach was a very righteous person. He was the most righteous in the world. And he was deserving that through him the world should continue. But Noach endeavored to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem and his family, that his family should. But to go out and change the world, this Noach, we don't find Noach did. How much he tried, we don't know. But certainly he was not successful. Because he and his family were the only ones that merited to be saved in that generation. On the other hand, Avraham, when he came to the conclusion that it's a God in the world, and we are his creations, and we are obligated to fulfill his will, to fulfill his mitzvahs, he didn't go away in a corner and teach his children these mitzvahs. He went to spread this ideal to the entire world. And he was Moser Nafshei. He was willing to give his life on this. He went to change the world. He went to debate with kings and to tell them that what they were doing was wrong. He told his own father what he was doing was wrong. He broke all of the idols. He went from Medina to Medina, from one province to the other, where he became a teacher of multitudes. Rambam brings that he had thousands of people following him. And he taught them the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash tells us an example, the difference between Noach and between Abraham. Noach was a person like a servant of a king, where the king had to hold a torch for him to show him the way. Abraham was like a person, a servant of a king, where he held the torch in order to light the way for the king. Noah followed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he didn't light up the world. Abraham followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. He lit up the world. And a place he writes when he says, Elokei HaShemayim v'Elokei HaOretz. Before I came to this land, he was only the God of the heavens because people didn't know him yet. But afterwards, he was the God of the heavens and the God of the land. Avraham said, I made him the God of the land. And this is why Avraham was called an Or, a light. States by he, Or, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be light, Zu Avraham. He was referring to the great light that would be with Avraham. He was to be not only a light for himself, but a light for the entire world. And therefore his seed was chosen to be the seed of the Am HaNifcha, the chosen nation, and that would receive the Torah. So they in turn could be the light for the entire world. So this is this principle goes back right to the beginning of our history. To understand how great of a principle this is, to become a light for other people, for other members of Israel, and to show them the right way, to lead them in the way of Torah and Mitzvot, this we can see from the Aveda which is contrary to this. The Aveda which is contrary to this is when you're Machti Asarabim, someone who misleads the people and takes them in the wrong direction. We had, when we learned Parshas Kisetze last week, Rashi brings the Torah states, this was in Devarim Chof Beis, Devarim Chof Gimel. It tells us that two nations we are not allowed to accept at all. When there will be Megayer, if they will come to convert, their children will never be allowed to marry into the central part of Klal Yisrael, of the community. And who are they? Amoni Uma'ovi. Amain and Ma'ov. Torah says two reasons. One reason is because they didn't come to meet you with lechem u'mayim, with bread and water, when you were coming out of the desert, out of Egypt, and you needed it. Second reason, asher sochar alecho es bilim ben mo'or biftor aram na'arayim lekal alecho. This is in Posuke. Because they went and they hired Bilim in order to curse you. And what did Bilim eventually do when he saw that the curses didn't work? He gave an eitzah. He gave advice to Midian and to Moab that the God of this people, Seine Azimo, he hates promiscuity. Try to get these people to commit acts of promiscuity or to commit acts of idolatry, and then you'll be able to conquer this nation. So they came with the Eitzah that they sent their daughters into Klal Yisrael. And they tempted them and enticed them and eventually brought them to serve idolatry. Then the Torah tells us, Leitisaiv Adomi, ki achichohu, Leitisaiv Mitzri, ki ger Yisav Arzo. You shall not hate Edom, and you shall not hate Mitzri, Egypt. Even though they deserve to be hated for what they did to you. What did they do? Edom came to meet you with a sword, and Mitzri, Egypt, came and threw your sons into the river, so they deserve to be hated, but you shall not hate them completely. When they convert, the third generation can marry into the central part of the community. Now Rashi brings from the Chazal that it seems that Egypt and Edom were more evil to you. They tried to destroy you. Bilam
But the nations of Moab and Edom, the nations of Moab and Ammon, they didn't try to destroy you. They just tried to get you to serve idolatry, okay, or to commit acts of promiscuity. But they didn't injure you physically. But Mitzrayim, Egypt, and Edom, they came to injure you and to destroy you with the sword, or to throw your children into the river. So they're the ones that should be rejected completely. So Rashi says, what do we see from here? Shahamachti lo odom koshele min ahorge. Someone who causes another person to do a hate, to sin, to go against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is more severe than killing him. Shahorgo horge b'ilam azeh. Because someone who kills him has only taken away this world from him. But someone who causes him to do an Aveira, he's taking away from him this world and the next world. So therefore those nations that came to injure you physically, they're not rejected completely. But those nations that came to mislead you off the Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem, they are rejected forever. This is what Rashi brings here. So we see what it means to be machti es chaveroi, to cause your chaver to go off the derech. And again, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva, the beginning of Perek Dalet, Arba ve'esrim dvorim akvinas ha-tshuva. There are 24 things which are very difficult to do tshuva for, to repent. Arba mehen oven godl. Four of these are such great averus. Va'ese echod mehen in a kodesh bochum maspik v'yodol lases tshuva lefi gedol hachetoy. Four of these are such great averus that if you do just one of them, a kodesh bochum will not give you the opportunity to do tshuva because of the greatness of the hate, because of the greatness of the sin. So of these 24, four are the worst. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow you to do tshuva. The first three of these four relate to what we're speaking about. The first one is a machti es harabim. Someone who comes and he causes the rabim, he causes the tzibur, a community, to do a chet. U'bechlal oven zeh ma'akiv es harabim na'asish mitzvah. And also, this means if he prevents a community from doing a mitzvah, if you prevent a community, if you cause a community to do an aveira, or you prevent a community to do a mitzvah, so great is this aveira that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will not give you the opportunity to do tshuva. Second one, amatas chaverim miderech tevel ro, kigen misis medirach. If you come and you influence it, you influence your friend to go off the way of the Torah. You advise him. You must be very careful when you give people advice, to make sure what you're giving them is sound advice. If you advise a person to do something which is contrary to Torah, if you influence him, you tempt him. So this is amate es chaverei miderech tova l'roki gei meisis medirach. Like the Torah says, meisis medirach. Though someone who influences someone to go and serve idolatry, but it doesn't have to be that. Any Aveira. Amatas Chaveira Miderech Tevel Lero. This is the second one. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not give that person an opportunity to do tshuva. Even though the Gemara says that Ein Lecha Dover She'emin Bifnei HaTshuva, the tshuva would help on everything, that's if he does tshuva. But it's most likely he will never do tshuva for this, because the hate is so great. Kodesh Baruch Hu will see that the opportunity will be very limited for him to do the tshuva. Three. If a person sees his own son going away from the right way, and he doesn't attempt to do anything about it, and a parent has influence over a son, And at least he must attempt. Not all the time will his words be listened to, but at least he must make it a very, very strong attempt. If he makes no attempt to it, and the son goes off the way of Hashem, he's held responsible. And that's the same as Machtiyah. That's the same as if he would advise him to do this. And inclusive in this is any situation where you see an individual or many people doing something wrong and it's within your power to stop them, they listen to you and you don't speak up, then you're held responsible. So these three of these four, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give the person opportunity to do tshuva for, have to do with what we're speaking about. That if a person is a cause for another Jew or Jews to go away from the Torah, to do an aveira, to do something wrong. And this is held from the most serious, or perhaps the most serious offenses in the Torah. Even tshuva, see, does not seem to be practical here. So from here, and this is what Rashi is bringing, why Moab and Ammon, these two nations, were prevented forever from coming into Klal Yisrael. Because even though they didn't injure Klal Yisrael, but they tempted them to go away from Hashem. So now let us learn from this the converse. That if you come and you tempt or you advise or you influence a Jew to do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Torah, this is the onesh, the punishment. So what would be now if you advise or you influence or you draw someone into doing the will of the Almighty? You bring him in the right way? You get him to fulfill mitzvahs, then we can see what a great mitzvah this is. And this is the principle where Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, that one is responsible for the other, and he must do everything in his power to influence others to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. Now, the greatest way a person can influence others, enlighten, become a light for other people, the greatest way is through Torah, teaching Torah. Gemara says, Godl ha-Talmud, shemevi didei maisa, le'elam ha-Talmud kodem. The learning of Torah always should take precedence because it brings a person to action. So the greatest way to bring people to action is to either learn for themselves, that's how they bring themselves to action, or to teach others. It's for this reason that the Talmidei Chachomim were called an or. They were called a light. Gemara brings in the first perek in Baba Basra, Hordas, who was an evil king. He was a slave to the Romans, but he took the throne in Israel. And he went and he massacred all of the Chachomim. And then the sages that were left, he came to ask them, what should he do? And they said that you have extinguished the light of the world. The sages were called the Or, the light. Why? Because they gave light to other people. A light dissipates darkness. The Torah itself is called Or. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah Or. And there's a Gemara there's a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. Very interesting Mishnah. Sanhedrin. And Daf Ayin Aleph, which explains the importance, the light that the Chachomim have for the world. In Perek Ben Seir Umeira, it states, Yain v'shino l'reshoim, hanole hen v'hanole ilam. when it comes to wine or it comes to sleep, this is something which is good for the Rishoyim, this is good for the evil, and this is good for the world. Because if the Rishoyim drink wine, then they become inactive. If they sleep, for sure they're inactive. Then they cannot cause trouble. So this is good for them, because they're not doing Averis. So it's good for their soul, wine and sleep. And it's good for the world too, if they're drunk or if they're sleeping. Otherwise, they get into trouble. The tzaddikim, for the tzaddikim, wine is a necessity and sleep is a necessity. But it's not good for the tzaddikim. And it's not good for the world when the tzaddikim, when the righteous have wine and the righteous have sleep. It's a necessity, they must. But still it's not good. Why? As the Mefarshim explained, because when the righteous, when the Talmidei Chachamim have wine, they cannot learn, they cannot study, and they cannot teach. When they're sleeping, they cannot study Torah, and they cannot teach. And their Torah protects the world. Their teaching brings light to the world. For the Rishoyim, it's very good that they should have wine and go to sleep. It's good for their soul, keeps them out of trouble, and it's good for the world. But for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, it's ra lehem v'ra le'ilam. It's not good for them, and it's not good for the world. Then it states, Pizer, the Rishoyim ano lehem v'ano le'ilam. To be scattered, for the Rishoyim, that's good for them and good for the world. When the Rishoyim are scattered, they're not together, then they have less potential to do trouble. So it's good for them, it keeps them out of trouble, and it keeps, it's good for the world. For the tzaddikim, for the righteous, it's ra lehem v'ra le'ilam. For tzaddikim, for the righteous, for the Talmidei Chachamim to be scattered, it's not good. Why? Then it says the opposite. Kinus means being brought together, a conference. Kinus is what you call a conference. The Rishoyim v'ra lehem v'ra le'ilam. A conference for wicked people is not good. This we see from the United Nations. This we see from other such things. Organizations. We place a lot of emphasis on organizations, on meetings, on conferences. Not always it's so good. Depends who comes. A kinus, a conference or a meeting, an organization for a showing, the Gemara says, is ra lehem v'ra le'ilam. It's not good for them and not good for the world. Because when a showing come together, what do? They talk about how to do evil things. So it's better peace or better to keep them apart. We find that many times it's the rachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's dissension amongst evil nations where they cannot cooperate with each other. And Baruch Hashem, otherwise they would be machriv v'sa'ilam, they would destroy the world if they would only agree between themselves. So peace or to be separated is very good. For tzaddikim, for righteous people, meetings are good. Because when tzaddikim come together, Talmidei Chachamim come together, if they're true Talmidei Chachamim, you can tell how much Talmidei Chachamim they are by their conversations. If they're true Talmidei Chachamim, then they'll come together with others, they'll talk Eitzah, how they can do better for Klal Yisrael, what they can do better for the world. So their meetings are good for them and good for the world. So we see here that the Talmidei Chachamim, their Torah, their waking hours is a brocha for the world. Because they're learning Torah and they're teaching Torah and they're bringing light to the world. This is the greatest way to bring people al derech Hashem. And the Gemara brings in Baba Basra, Daf Ches Amud Beis, a pasuk from Daniel, where it says, "Umatzdike harabim ki kechovim le'elam va'ed." That those who bring schus merit to the masses, they're like the stars. What does it mean? They're like the stars. that just like stars bring light into the night, so do those who bring schus to the masses brings light into the darkness. And who are they? And the Gemara says, Elu melamdei tinoikos. These are those who teach children. Teach Torah to children. You're like the stars that bring light into a dark night. Because with the light of the Torah that you're teaching to them, you are bimastike asarabim, you're showing them the way to walk in. So that's the best way to bring schus to Klal Yisrael. A second way is what is known as techocho. Techocho means rebuke. Rebuke and instruction, that if you see a person doing something wrong, then you tell him what he's doing. If you see a person wants to do something wrong, you rebuke him. This is a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, as it states in the Torah, that you shall rebuke your fellow man. When he does something wrong, you should not be silent. You must tell him, because you're responsible for him. Now, the purpose of rebuke is in order that it should be accepted. This is important. The entire purpose of rebuke is not that it should be said. Many people think that the purpose of rebuke is that it should be said. No, sir. The purpose of rebuke is that it should be accepted. If it's not accepted, then there's no purpose at all in the rebuke. Because the purpose of the rebuke is in order to be mate es chaveri aderech hatova, to bring him to the right way. Therefore, rebuke is a great chokhmah, but it's a great wisdom. It must be done in a way in which it will be accepted. And on this there are three aspects. Firstly, the mechiach, the one who rebukes, must be someone who is befitting to rebuke. It must be someone whose the rebuke is fitting for him, and therefore people will accept from him. Because people do not accept the rebuke from everyone. Now these points are very important. A second point, the one that you rebuke, the recipient, must be a person who will receive the rebuke. Because not everyone is the type that will receive the rebuke, will accept it. And not every person, even though he'll accept some rebuke, might accept another type of rebuke. He has to be holding by it. What you have to be saying something to him that's relevant to his particular level where he is. Thirdly, the way the rebuke is made, it must be done in a way which it can be received. It must be done with a chokhmah, with a wisdom. So these are three important aspects in hechiach techiach, when you give rebuke. Firstly, the mechiach, the one who gives the rebuke, he has to be a person who's roi lekach, someone who's capable. He's of a stature, because people will not accept the rebuke from everyone. Secondly, the one is given to, he has to be someone who will accept it. And thirdly, the way it's given. It must be in a way that it would be accepted. Now there's a Gemara in Masechta Erechin, and Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Reb Tarfon, Teme ani, I'm wondering, im yesh b'dor hazeh, if there's anyone in this generation, not Reb Tarfon, who lived during the time of the Mishnah. So he's speaking in his generation, shemekabel techocha. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this generation I'm wondering that if in this generation there is anyone who is capable of giving rebuke. If he will tell someone, take out, you have something between your teeth, take it out. They'll say to him, there's something between your eyes, take it away. What does this mean? If a person has something between his teeth, he cannot see it. Others can see it, but he cannot see it. So you're telling him, there's something that's not apparent to you, but it's apparent to me, so I want to help you remove it. If a person has something right between his eyes, then not only other people can see it, but he also can see it. So the person would answer him, you have something which is right between your eyes, take that away first. Why are you telling me to do something which is concealed when there are so many wrongs that you do which are revealed to everyone? In other words, the one who gives the rebuke has to be someone of a stature where people respect what he says. Because if he's a person who's full of averus himself, if he's a person who's full of shortcomings himself, so the Gemara says, "Sheid atzmecho tchilo," fix yourself up before you start telling other people what to do. So they won't listen to you. You're telling me what to do. Take care of yourself first. You're telling me to take something out of my tooth. You have something right in your eye, and you don't see it. So this is what Reb Tarfon said, Tom Ani. That I'm wondering if there's anyone in our generation that really is capable of giving rebuke. Omer Blazer, Blazer came along and said, "Toma ani im yesh b'dor hazeh mishe mekabel techoch." I am wondering if there's anyone in our generation who will accept rebuke. You have to be a great person to accept rebuke. A small person won't accept it because nobody likes to be pointed at that he's doing something wrong, and nobody likes to be criticized. So to accept rebuke, you have to be a great person. So the Blazer says, I'm not worried about the one who's giving the rebuke. I don't know if there's anybody in our generation who will accept rebuke. Omer Rabbi Akiva, now Rabbi Akiva came along, and he says, Tomo ani, I am wondering, im yesh bedor hazeh mishi yedea leichiach. I am wondering if there's anyone in our generation who knows how to rebuke. You're speaking about the one who's giving the rebuke. You're speaking about the one who's receiving it. I am wondering if there's anyone in our generation who knows how to rebuke. Because rebuke is a great chokhmah. It's a great wisdom. Since the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of rebuke is not to say it because it has to be said. It's to say it in order to guide and instruct the other person, so then it must be accepted by the other person. If it will not be accepted, then the talking was purposeless. It would have been better if you wouldn't have said anything. And this takes a chokhmah, this takes a great wisdom. The Maral writes in Perek Gimel of Nesivat HaChokho, he writes, it takes a great deal in order to get someone to accept it. You need great wisdom. You need great strategy when you want to approach someone to tell him that what he's doing is not right. For techocha, for rebuke, you must have great wisdom at shemekabel hamuchach divrei amechiach, in order to get the one who's being rebuked to accept from the one who's giving it. And again he says, Tzorech chokhma gedeila ledaber imay divrei nayam. It takes great wisdom to speak to him in a pleasant manner. V'divrei sforim me'od. And to explain to him with a great logic. Ad she'advorim nichnosi b'liboy. Until the words will go into his heart. And it must be built on Sharoshi Emes. What you tell him must have sound foundations in Torah's Emes, in the Torah of Truth. He says these people who say rebuke and they build it on false premises. He says this is not a rebuke that people that will be accepted. So here we have three aspects when it comes to give rebuke. First of all, the one who gives it can't be anyone. So far we see that Reb Tarfin in his own generation, in the generation of the Mishnah, said, I don't know for sure if there's anyone in our generation who's even Roy, who's even fit to give rebuke. Secondly, it cannot be given to anyone. Many people think that it's the greatest mitzvah for anyone to tell anyone else what he's doing wrong. This is just contrary totally to what we're learning here. Not everyone is roi, not everyone is fit to give techocha. Where Reb Tarfin said, I don't know in my generation there is anyone who can. Then Reb Lezer came along and said, even if we'll find someone who can give rebuke, it's not a mitzvah to tell everyone rebuke. Because most people won't accept it. Most people will not listen. So what are you telling them for? To hear yourself talk? To make machlekes? That's why you're telling them. That's not the mitzvah of techocha. The mitzvah of techocha is to be mate es chaveroi al derech tova, to bring him in a good way. And then the Rebbe comes along and he says, even if you'll find a person of impeccable character, where people would listen to him, and you find a person who has greatness of character, where he would listen, where he would accept criticism, self-criticism, but it has to be given over in a way of great wisdom, of great diplomacy, great strategy, and great pleasantness in order to make it palatable, to make it acceptable. And the Rebbe Kiva said, I don't know if we have anyone in our generation who can do that. Now this was in their generation. The Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara brings and Daf Samachay Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Samachay Amid Beis. Vom Reb Loi, Mishum Reb Loza Ben Pshimen. Reb Loi said in the name of Reb Loza Ben Pshimen, Kishem Shemitzvah La Odom Leime Dover Anishma. Just like it's a mitzvah, it's a very great mitzvah for a person to open his mouth and to say something that will be listened to. If he sees something is being done wrong, if he sees individuals doing wrong things, it's a great mitzvah for him to speak up. He must not sit silently if it will be listened to. Kach, so is it a mitzvah la'odem shelei lema dover she'ina nishma. So is it a mitzvah for him to keep silent when it comes to saying something which he knows will not be received. This is what Rabbi Loi said. Rabbi Abba comes along and says it's not just a mitzvah to keep quiet in such a case. Chayva. Mitzvah means that it's good. Chayva means it's an obligation. That when it comes to speaking, and you know people will not listen to you, then it's a chayva, it's an obligation to keep silent. How do we know this? We know this from Shlomo HaMelech. Because Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle, Tes al techach letz pen yisno echo. Hochach lechochom v'yorecho. Do not rebuke the leitz. Do not rebuke the scoffer. Why? He'll only come to hate you more. So when you have someone who's a scoffer, you see people are sitting around and They're not going to listen anyhow. They're going to make a joke out of it. By them it's nothing. Then keep quiet. Because you'll just bring them to hate you. A chokham you must rebuke. The person is a chokham, then you must rebuke him. Like the Gemara says, Ein mezarzin ele mizurozin. Who do we inspire? You must inspire the ones who are inspired. You must strengthen those who are of strong character. Because when it comes to alates, when it comes to the showing, when it comes to very, very following people, then very rarely will they listen to you. And if they won't listen to you, then it's not only it's not a mitzvah to say it, it's a chayv, it's an obligation to keep quiet. There's two reasons in it. Moral brings, first of all, you're mavaza divrei Torah. You're telling them Torah, you're telling them mitzvahs, and they make a joke out of it. See, it's a bizarre, you're bringing the Torah to bizarre. You're disgracing the Torah. Secondly, you're causing machlekes. They'll hate you for it. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. So what are you accomplishing? The mitzvah is a cheach tiyachiyach. The whole mitzvah is to bring your fellow man into the right way, and you're making machlekes. If you had any influence over him, you're losing it. So this goes into what we're referring to. What do we see from here? This is very important in our generation. People who don't understand this. They've heard of the mitzvah hecheach tichiach. It's a mitzvah to rebuke. But unfortunately, they haven't heard the details. They haven't heard the details, the protim, of the mitzvah. So you have people who are constantly telling other people what they're doing wrong and how to do better. When the Gemara says that firstly, the one who gives the rebuke has to be someone who's roilekach, someone who's fitting for it, where people will listen to him. Otherwise, he should be silent. And unfortunately, we have all types of people that are telling other people what to do. Many times, you have people who are telling other people what to do when what they're telling them is not necessarily even accurate. They're not necessarily telling them the right thing. They're not in that level to know if that's the mitzvah or not the mitzvah. That's firstly. Secondly, they tell all types of people what to do. The Gemara says not like that. Gemara says you must give rebuke to someone who will receive it. If he's the type of person that will not receive it from you, then be quiet. You can't imagine how much machlekes is caused by this. Tremendous numbers of cases. Splits in families, relations, friends and everything. Because people were not aware of this. Because they held it was the greatest mitzvah to let this person know under all circumstances what he's doing is 100% wrong and he must stop immediately, even though there wasn't a chance in the world that person would ever listen to him. And on that, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Al tichiach letz," or do not rebuke someone who is not in the position where he'll receive it. And they create tremendous machlekes. Not only tremendous machlekes, but there's people who have been driven away from Torah and Yiddishkeit. Instead of bringing them closer to the Torah and Yiddishkeit, they've been driven away. And this I know because I've had many people come to me. Fact is, you find people who have gone way far away, and they'll tell you because of a certain farible, of a certain case where something like this happened. And then, when the rebuke is given, if it's given by the person who can give it, and if it's given to the person who should be given to, when it is given, it must be given with great wisdom and great strategy and great diplomacy and great ne'im is great pleasantness. And this also is not done, unfortunately, in so many cases. One must be very careful of this, otherwise, abolisakein, leitikein, ele mekalkel nami. that he is coming to do something good. He's coming to bring a person back to Yiddishkeit, back to Torah and mitzvahs. Not only he doesn't accomplish that, but he can drive them further away. Someone, though, who is in a position to rebuke someone, and it's a person that will accept it, then it's a great mitzvah. But he must do it very carefully. He must assess the situation. He must weigh all the factors. And he must do it in such a way where he's sure the person will accept it. If he feels he'll accept a little but not more, then he should say a little and not more. If he feels that now he's not holding by this yet, maybe in another few months, then he must be quiet. He must be patient. Right? This is what the Gemara is telling us. So, a second way in which we carry a responsibility for other people is to bring them close to Torah, is through tochacha. But it must be done properly. Then there's a third way. And that is through our own action, through our own deeds. You know, we say that example is the best teacher. You want to teach someone? Then do it yourself. And he will learn. And this is why the Gemara says, Shimusha Gdela Milimuda, that when it comes to learning from people, many times even greater than the Torah that you hear from them is to watch them in action. And you'll learn more. Now the Gemara brings in Masechet Yoma, and the Rambam quotes it. In Hilchos Deos and in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Here he brings it in Hilchos Deos. He brings it in Hilchos Deos and in Hilchos Kiddush Hashem. In Perek Hay, at the end of Perek Hay of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam brings that a person is obligated to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and this in many ways can be done through his normal everyday acts. And if his normal everyday acts are not up to par what they should be, then it becomes a Chil Hashem. Instead of sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and bringing people closer to Torah, he drives them away. He says, for example, if an Adam Godel B'Teirum Mufursim B'Chassidus, if there's a great person in Torah and in righteousness, and he brings himself into suspect where people start talking about him, even though these are not necessarily transgressions, this is a desecration of Hashem. For example, if he buys it, he doesn't pay right away. He keeps his accounts waiting a long time, and people start to suspect him. Or for example, if he's very folly, very loud, the way he eats, the way he drinks, or the way he talks with people. He does not talk in a fine, refined manner. Or in a makabla b'sever ponim yofes. Or he doesn't accept people graciously. El balktot v'koas. But he's a person who's always involved in disputes. This is a desecration to Hashem. The Gemara brings, after Eis Hashem Elokecha, you should love the Lord your God, Sheyehei Shem Shemaim Nehav Al Yodei. Nehav Al Yodei. How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By bringing others to love Him. How do you bring others to love Him? By influencing them through your ways. If in Dikdek HaChochem Al Atzmai, for example, if the Chochem is a someone who is very demanding of himself, V'dibure B'nachas Yim Abriyas, when he speaks to people, he speaks to them in a very refined manner. Daitum Urevis Mehem, and he mixes with people. He's concerned with them. He does not hold himself remote. Umekablam b'sev upon him yofes, and he receives them graciously. Nela mehem veina olvam. He doesn't insult them, even if they'll insult him. Mechabed lehen vafilin mekilin le. He gives honor to them, even to the smallest one. Naisivanaisin Bamuna. He does business in an honorable fashion. You don't find him Layarba Barichas Amores Vishivosan. You don't find him hanging around. That is always together with ignorant people. But you see him Aisik Betora, that he's learning, Otto Bitsitsis, Muhta Bitfilin, he's with his talis, with his tfilin, Aisik Kol Maisim Lifnimashura Sadin, and everything he does, he makes sure to do a little more when it comes between man and his fellow man. He gives a little more. But he does not hold himself above the people, or remote from the people, or isolates himself. Until everyone praises him, the Ohavi Meisoi, and people love him, umisavim lemaisov, and they desire to do his ways, then hareze kiddush Hashem. This is a sanctification of Hashem. V'lova kosev v'ime v'yoyim eli avode ato Yisrael Hashem b'cho espoyer. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that it's on these type of people, these are my servants, which I take my pride in. The Gemara brings in Yuma, but this is the source of this Gemara. This is on page 1 in Yuma. The Gemara says that when you see a person like that, if you see a person who is not a gentleman amongst people, he's not a desirable character, even though he might be great in Torah, and his clothing is not proper, and he's not well groomed, and his cleanliness is not proper, and he doesn't speak nicely, and he's a Baal Ketoto, he's always getting into hassles with people, and so forth and so on, the Gemara says. So it says, Ma heim abriyas haimenis. What do the people say? The people say, look, that person went and learned Torah, and look what's become of him. I don't want my son to go learn Torah. That's what the Gemara says. See? So it says, Arei zechiles Hashem. This is a desecration of Hashem's name. This is driving people away from Yiddishkeit. In Telzi Yeshiva, when I learned there, this is something we always heard from the Rosh Yeshivas. Always. Right? And this was the way of the Litvish Yeshivas. They were always concerned that the Talmidim should be well dressed and well groomed and well behaved with impeccable conduct and impeccable standards. Why? Because of this Gemara. And this started yet from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Gaon, and Rav Yisrael Salanter, all of the Gaon's Talmidim. If you look in the photographs of all of the Litvish yeshivas, of Slobodka, and of Ponovich, and of Mir, and the photographs are there, you'll see that not only they were impeccably dressed, but they were better dressed than anyone in the city. If you look at the photographs of the people in the city, you'll see the Bochrim were always better dressed. better dressed and better groomed. And this was from the instructions of the Rosh Hashivas. Because people are going to learn from you. If you make a good impression, then people will send their sons to study Torah. If you'll make a bad impression, then people will say, I don't want my son to study Torah. And this is what the Gemara says. It says, if you see a person who, to the contrary, see, who's a person who's very nicely dressed and nicely groomed, and he speaks like a mensch, and he talks like a mensch with people, and he deals in a beautiful way. So the Gemara says, "Ma hema briyos aimrish?" What do the people say? They say, "Kama noim ma'aseh shel zeh." How beautiful his ways are. Where did he learn such beautiful ways? Because he went to learn Torah. I want my son also to study Torah. This is kiddush Hashem. This is sanctifying Hashem's name. Rebbe Yemeir, they tell the Rosh Yeshiva, used to always tell the Talmidim, "You're a Yeshiva Bocher. You're a Talmud Chochem. Then you become an ambassador for HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What would happen if an ambassador from a foreign country comes into South Africa? He carries with him the responsibility of his state. The impression he makes, that's the impression of the state. If he creates a scandal here, it's a scandal for his nation. If he creates a good impression, so then this is a feather in the cap of the nation. You see, you're ambassadors for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're ambassadors for Torah. So this is a third way that you can influence other people to Torah. Not by directly teaching them, and not by directly rebuking them, but in an indirect way, which many times is the most powerful way. Through example, that people will learn from you. To have a philosophy that I'm responsible for myself and I'm responsible for my family, my direct family. Others I'm not responsible for. And to build a wall around oneself and isolate oneself, to protect oneself from the outside world, from other Jews, even though there's many times we have to look for strategies how to protect ourselves from the influences of the street. Influences of the street, the influences of the world, they come and they're contrary to the principles of Torah, they come to break down the principles of Torah, so we must look for strategies how to protect ourselves. But to withdraw ourselves from other Jews and to say, this is not our responsibility, another rabbi, to the contrary, let them go their way and we'll go our way, which is the philosophy of many people today in the world, this is false. This is something that was never accepted by the Litvish Gedalim. They always spoke of being Marbitz Torah, going out to teach Torah, going out to spread Torah. Michel Salanter went to Germany to spread Torah, because in Germany the Yiddishkeit was the worst. And this is the source from here. Because there was a swore an oath that all of Israel will be responsible for his fellow man. And the Malbim writes, there was an episode that once took place called Pilegish Begiva. A certain scandal took place. A woman was abused and she was killed. This was in the territory of Binyamin. And the other Shvatim became so outraged with this, they told Binyamin to produce the guilty ones. And Binyamin refused. So the other Shvatim went to war against Binyamin. And great bloodshed came out of this. And the other Shvatim, the other tribes, became so angry that they took an oath and they said that we're cutting off Binyamin. We will not allow any of our daughters to marry anyone from Binyamin. And as time went on, it came out that the numbers of Binyamin were depreciating because there were not women for them to marry. And all of the tribes got together and they annulled the vow. This was one of the things which took place on the Chamish Osa B'Av and the 15th of Av. One of the reasons why the 15th of Av was a great day of Simcha. The Malbim asks, why did they change their course of action? They did this to cut off Binyamin. So why did they make this turnabout? She said that, he writes, that originally when they did this, they didn't think that it would affect the numbers of Binyamin. They thought, all right, we'll punish them. So we won't allow our daughters to marry. But they didn't think it would start to affect the numbers. But when they saw that it was affecting the numbers and there was a possibility that Binyamin, that this Shevet might be wiped out, then they immediately annulled it. Why? Because Ein Ashkina Sheira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not dwell in Klal Yisrael unless all of Israel is represented. All of Israel has to be represented. And they saw that if Binyamin will be lost, so they'll drive Shechina out of all of Israel. So this is what we're speaking about. An Eitzah, to withdraw and protect yourself from other Jews, this is not the answer. We'll conclude with a posuk in Mishlei, from Shlema HaMelech, in Mishlei Chov Daled. Shlema HaMelech writes, and Posuchov Daled, Perichov Daled, Posuchov Daled, Eime Lerosho Tzadik, Oto Yigvu Amim, Yizoamuhu Leumim. If someone tells a Rosho, if someone tells a wicked person, you're a righteous person, then that person will be cursed by nations and will be despised by empires. Because that's Hanifa. That's flattery. Flattery is just the total opposite of Techoch, of rebuke. Rebuke is when you see something wrong and you do something about it, you tell the person he's doing wrong. Flattery is when he's doing wrong and you tell him he's doing right. You tell a Rosh Tzadikato. And flattery is the worst type of deceit, the worst type of lies. Why? Because when you lie, you're saying a falsehood, but you're not necessarily saying that wrong is right. Flattery, you're saying wrong is right. Eimel Rosho Tzadikato. To give honor to the Rishoim, to pay heed to them, that's flattery. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu despises that. Therefore, you'll be cursed by nations and by empires. But to those who give instruction and rebuke, when they see something wrong, they try to do something about it in order that it should be made right, even in the face of people who might be stronger than them, they bring beauty to the world. They are pleasant. And the brocha of tov, of goodness, will come upon them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because it's these people that are mesalek. It's these people that remove the evil from the world. If there's evil in the world, if there's wrong in the world, if there's wrong in a community, if there's wrong amongst your fellow man, if you will not do anything to remove it, then it remains. If you'll try to remove it through teaching them Torah, through direct rebuke, through example, then you bring goodness to the world because you remove the evil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then will bring his Birchas HaTov on you. Therefore Shlaima HaMelech said, V'lamechichi minom that to those who give rebuke, that's beautiful. Va'aleihem tove birchas tov, and on them will come the brocha of goodness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they are bringing goodness into the world. They're removing the evil and bringing the goodness into the world. So this is what we learn from this part of the parsha, that on HaGrizim and HaEvil, Klal Yisrael became Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. They assumed the responsibility one for the other to try their utmost, not only to bring Torah to themselves, but to bring Torah to all of Israel. We should be zeche to see the growth of Torah in all of Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.